Psalm 27 is my text this morning. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I'm not going to, in fact, talk much about the entire psalm, but there's one verse that is all we're going to focus on this morning in Psalm 27. And it's these words. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and then I will read from the New Living Translation just to give you what a paraphrase sounds, but conveys a different thought. Psalm 27, 8. When you did say, seek my face. Yes, spend more time with God. Amen. When you did say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. The New Living Translation says this. It's a paraphrase. Just remember that. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. A lot of you know, and you probably know, or maybe some of you are collectors, or you like to antique, or you're looking for whatever. My sons, they do card collecting, and they're on a mission. They're looking for something that is valuable to them. It's a treasure, as we had heard earlier. It's a treasure, and they are driven by trying to complete a collection set, or they're trying to complete their furniture set of antiques by getting that one last piece. And some people will go to great lengths. They'll go across the country or even to other countries to obtain that last piece that they want. It takes finances and energy and resources and time, and they'll do anything they can to get that. What about us? When it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, what do we do? What drives them? What makes us want to be with Jesus? In Psalm 27, David here in this chapter is expressing this incredible confidence that he has in the Lord's help and his protection. As he goes through these trying times, and there's a lot of them that the psalmists write and David write, and they're trying times. And he's being challenged, and at the bookends of this psalm, he's waiting on God, he trusts God, he declares that God is able, and he gives him everything he needs. But right smack in the middle, almost like out of nowhere in verse 8, his creator God. In fact, the Creator God's heart speaks to his heart in the innermost part of his being, and God has a call to him. David does not, I want you to hear this really clearly. David does not want to just be safe in God's presence. I want that. We have that. And thank God. And I praise God for that. We desire that. But what he really desires, what he really wants, is to be with God and to be totally satisfied, not just safe. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. And I'll touch on that at the end. Look at verse 4. Where he is so close to God's presence. And he says in verse 4, I can't read it in my eyes. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. He's so close to God's presence that he can behold the Lord's beauty. Not from afar, not from somebody else, not from generations ago, but right now, in that moment, he can behold and see the beauty of the Lord and the details of his face, if we were. Now, let me just clarify for the record. It's interesting because we translate this word to seek his face, but the actual word really is his presence. His presence. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere all the time. Right? Just nowhere that he's not. He is omnipresent. And we know that. He lives in us by his Spirit. But yet, David, even as God's chosen and a friend of his, if you will, he is here looking to behold the Lord's beauty, to be in his presence, and he's seeking that with all he's got. You know what this is? This is up close and a personal presence that is relational. I can't imagine, and I know for sure, I know it, that in his heart and part of his motivation with David was that he yearned. Like, when you yearn for something, you are like, you're going to pass out because you want it so bad, and you're longing, and all the different words we can use, and it's even that the concept of fainting. You want something so bad that you're overwhelmed by that desire and that drive, and he yearned for what Moses had with God in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Do you remember what that was? The Bible records it was a face-to-face conversations like friends have, that even God himself said and verified to Aaron and Miriam when they were complaining against Moses in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 8. God's own words, why are you coming against him? He is the one whom I trust, and I talk to him face to face as a friend. Yes, even in the more literal translations. David wanted that. That's what I want. Don't you want that? I want that now, to live so close, to seek God so intensely that I can behold him more and more and experience that deep personal statement that Jesus made to his followers in John 15:15, where he said, I call you friends. I call you friends. Friends tell each other things. Friends see each other eye to eye and face to face. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? I want that. And because we do, I know we do, because we do, let's look at David's response to God's call to him. And while we do, let's ask the Holy Spirit to move us to do what David did. Notice the first word, and I have the New American Standard and some of the more literal translations. The translation says here, when you did say, when God said, when you spoke to me, that word when is so important. It's an important word because, and it's regarding time and that perspective and that angle of time in our life, because no time is mentioned. It just says when, simply when. When you called, was it the first time that I woke up in the morning at 5:30 in the morning? Is that when? Is it afternoon after I've had a great lunch that I really wanted? Is it then? Is that the time when God's calling to David or calling to you? And maybe it's mid-afternoon after you've finally gotten over that when you have that fog after you eat and you kind of get tired and weary. Is it before laying down to bed for the night? Is that when God calls to you? Is that what's indicated here? I think there's the concept here that is the similar thing to when Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 11, when they asked him to teach him to pray, and he said, this is how you pray. And he said, when you pray, it meant that it was something that was expected, that it was ongoing, and it was a regular occurrence at the same time. It was something that was ongoing. And this is what's happening here with the word when, which is so powerful and important. And David's relationship and desire for God was such that he says, his heart actually says, when you said to my heart, it means whenever. Whenever you speak, which really is you made or you make or you will make this invitation to my heart, God, it could be at any moment. In fact, it is this very moment that the Lord calls to seek my face. And that requires an intense desire, and it must have behind it an intense desire. And it's a constant, with a constant readiness to respond to that call. Notice, it's confirmed by David's response as you look here. You said, and now he says, my heart says to you. It was a prompt response. He didn't wait when God said, seek my face. And he didn't wonder about it. There's no lingering. There's no arguing with himself. There's not even doubting. As soon as the Lord said, seek my face, David's heart responds immediately, no matter the circumstance or time of day. How many times have you parents experienced the, what I would call the almost fear of calling out to a child, or all your children for that matter, and there's no response? How does that make you feel? Even when it's good and it's well-intentioned and you're about to unveil something to them or just bless them with something and you're calling them and there's no response. And what do you think? You think, they're up to something. Can't be good. Maybe they're distracted. So you might repeat it again. Or the fact is, maybe they're just downright ignoring you. How dare they do that, right? It happens. And we can do the same with this call of God's heart to our hearts. We also see in Scripture that God wants an immediate response, not even in this kind of a context, but his heart is calling to be in that presence with him and to know him and see him face to face. But it's to be with him and to do what he says. You know the story in John chapter 2. You're very familiar, where Jesus goes to the wedding at Cana. And Mary, when they run out of the wine, Mary, his mom, when he take those vessels and he tells them to fill them with water, she says, do whatever he tells you to do in that moment of crisis. And it miraculously works out when you promptly respond to God's desire and call for you. I can go through a whole slew of them, but I'll go one more. Luke chapter 5. The disciples are fishing all night. They catch nothing, nothing at all. And then Jesus is teaching and they go and he says, let's go back out. Drop your nets on the other side of the boat. And now it's daytime. It's not, the sun is high. It's not the ideal time for fishing in this case. And what was the response? Oh, Lord, you don't understand. You don't get it. You know what we've done, what we've gone through. But he didn't say that. He did explain that. But then when Jesus said to do it, you know what he says? Whatever you say, nevertheless, we've done all this. I will do as you say, and I will let down the nets. Right there, right now. I could argue that the calls that Jesus made to his disciples as he began his ministry, and he called them, that they immediately, the Bible records, they immediately dropped their nets. They responded immediately. Matthew the tax collector, Luke the doctor, when he was called, immediately respond to God's heart for his to be joined and follow him and learn of him. Immediately. Prompt, no waiting, no lingering. There was no lag time between the call and the response. Seek my face, God says. And it's a general call to all people to seek the Lord's face. You don't see it here. We're not Jewish and we don't read Hebrew. But in Hebrew, believe this or not, it's a plural verb. To seek. It's for all people. And he makes this call to his heart. But yet David responds as a general call, and he responds in a personal face. A personal reply of, your face, Lord, I seek. I will look into your face, not at others' faces and whether or not they are seeking God's face. I will seek your face. I'm not going to worry about other people's hearts, but my own, and I will respond with my heart to the call of your heart, God, promptly, because I am ready at any moment when you make that call, even now, to do so. And I know right now is the time. Seek my face, God says. You know, at this point in this concise exchange between the Creator and the creature, you know, the Lord and David, this human being, don't miss from where this passionate response comes. It comes from the heart. Notice, and it's important, it comes from the heart. It's not lips. It's not just words. But they are, they will, and eventually his lips and his mouth and his words do proclaim what the passion, the desire, the drive of his heart is. Now, he didn't say, I want to seek. He didn't say, my heart says, I hope to seek. He didn't say or even say this from his heart, I plan on doing it sometime, God. Thanks for the invite. But when I feel like it. He just said, I seek your face. That's how my heart responds. It responds and it's resolved to know the heart of God by seeking his face. He's determined to connect with God even if he's tired, he's lazy, he's sluggish, he's busy, he has his own plans, wants to look dignified, or wrestles with his own concern about others, what others might think about how he seeks God. And I probably called some of you out on that, including myself. He knows that the Lord's heart, or his will, frankly, is for him to seek his face, his presence. What does this look like? I mean, really, what does this look like? This seeking the Lord's face in response to the call of God's heart to our heart to seek his face. Well, to start, it happens in private. It happens in private. When you're alone, you must seek his face. And it's also in public. When we join in the praises of God with our lips, expressing our hunger, our thirst, and our desire for God, pressing into him, we see God through meditation upon his word, lingering in his presence in silence, or with exuberant demonstrative praise. All of them are valid and work, and we should do them all to seek his face and to be in his presence. How long do we seek his face? How long are we supposed to seek his face? Well, let me tell you something. For me, sometimes I see God's face and I'm in his presence and I know within a moment of beginning my search. Unfortunately, that's rare. Well, I don't know if it's unfortunate. It's just rare. For me, more often than not, it takes longer, maybe all day until I see his face and see his presence and know his heart for me in my life. Reading, praying, seeking counsel, being still in his presence is rewarded when I know that he is God and my communion is deep, sweet, and even pierces my heart with conviction. I seek until I see his face. But I'm tired. I don't feel like it. I don't think you hear me. I don't think you see me. And yet the whole time God's heart is beating, seek my face. Seek my face. How's your heart responding? You seek his face as long as it takes until you hear his heart speak to yours and you're able to lay down, even for a moment, your plans and worries and your entire life at his feet and say, now I know you've got me, God, and I'm yours. See, when you do that, you relive. In some minuscule, and yet it's this real way, what it was like in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God right there. And you know what that does? That causes me, it causes us to look forward to that day when we will be with our Lord forever. And as John says in 1 John 3:2, that we will see him as he is. As he is. I mean, face to face. Totally understanding who he is in an entirety. You can't even comprehend and understand that. It'll be that final garden, I suppose, in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 1 to 5, where there is no more need for him, for our Lord, to passionately and intensely from his heart call out to you and to me, seek my face. We won't need that call anymore. But I'm going to ask you as we finish this morning, and I'll ask the praise team to come up. What is your heart saying while we wait? Like really, what is your heart saying while we wait? I want to be in charge. I want to be known as whatever. I want to be the boss. I want to have that. I want to know that person. That's fine. God says, seek my face. And what's your first response when he's saying that right now to your heart? Are you simply, if I could, I'll use the word, are you simply happy that you're saved and all set? Content with being safe from God's wrath and hell? We have that. You have that if you're a child of God. But God wants so much more, and we're missing it. God wants you to not just be safe. He wants you to be satisfied, full of all that he has to offer you. And you can only find that when you're face to face with him, when your heart is in his heart, and your presence, you are in his presence. There's no other way. And so, may it be, let it be, right now, that your heart responds with his, or to his, I should say, with your face, Lord, do I seek? Will you respond that way? But my heart says there's a football game on. But my heart says I'm hungry. But my heart says I'm impatient and I'm grumpy and I feel like I have to always be doing something. And God says, knock it off and slow down. Stop. Seek my face. Some of us have come here on Sundays when we corporately gather and we've missed God's face for years, and you know who you are. For some of you, but it's been a lesser time. But God's calling out. My heart says to your heart, seek my face. Will you do it? We're going to sing. The altars are open. I'm not even going to pray because you are the closing prayer. Whether you're sitting there, whether you come to the altar, whether you got to lie down and you're convicted and you're crying, whether you got to bury your face in the corner, whatever you got to do, but just you and God, your heart, his heart, getting together. That's what God wants. You're free to leave whenever you want, but God wants you to stay with him always, because he'll never leave you. Amen.